You are listening to a podcast from Church on the Rock. Today, Pastor Rashad is continuing in our series, Now and Later. Today's message is titled, Hindsight is 2020. Let's open our Bibles to Habakkuk 1, verse 12, and allow God to continue changing us into the people He has called us to be.
Good morning, Church on the Rock.
Good morning, Rashad.
Ah, that was weak. We just got rid of Gregson. Come on. Good morning, Church on the Rock.
Good morning, Rashad.
Amen, amen. My name is Rashad Cunningham. I'm the pastor here at Church on the Rock. I am so thankful for all the guests that we have here. Praise God for you. We're going to be in the book of Habakkuk. I'm going to catch everybody kind of up to speed to where we're at. Hold on. I wanted to add this to my intro. When I point to the word, I want you to say it. Because I want you guys to have this ingrained in your heart. So we're going to do that one more time. Here we go. Better. Let's do it one more time. Here we go. Yes, that is our process of discipleship here at Church on the Rock. That is what we're going through this year. Our look, love, learn, live. Quarter by quarter, we are in the look. We are looking for God intentionally this month as we walk through Habakkuk, and I am asking you to open your Bibles or your phones or just look up at the screen because we're going to be in Habakkuk 1, verse 12. So let me just kind of catch you up for the guests who are here or those who may not have been here for the last couple of weeks. Habakkuk was a prophet. He was a minor prophet. We established this a couple weeks ago. Minor prophet does not mean he was a midget. Minor prophet does not mean he was underage. It simply means that his book is shorter in length than the major prophets who got some pretty long books of like 55, 60 chapters. Habakkuk was placed on my heart 3, 4, 5 months ago, and it's crazy because how relevant it is today. With everything going on. We opened up and he opened up with a cry out to God saying, how long, Lord? How long? As he looked around at all the social injustice that was going on in the world around him among his people. He asked God, how long will I cry out to you, Lord? And you will not answer. How long will I scream violence and you will not save? He was looking at his situations and we established a couple conclusions. We said, his perspective was impatient, his perspective was imperfect, but yet, because of the things going on, his perspective was important because it led to prayer. It led to him looking to God. And then God responded, and this is what we had fun with last week. God responded, and he was like, look among the nations, observe, because I'm doing something among you that you wouldn't believe if I told you. I'm raising up the Chaldeans or the Babylonians, as he said. And we just kind of thought to ourselves, now, hold on, what kind of answer is that? I'm calling out to you to do something about my people that are acting crazy, and you're raising up some heathens named the Chaldeans to come do something about it? And we kind of looked at each other like, whoa, that didn't make any sense, right? But then we went and we talked about God and how he responds in his way, his will, and according to his word. And we looked at Job and said when Job questioned God on why he was going through what he was going through, God literally said, can you make it rain? And we all laughed about that. And we all said, get your minds out the gutter. He literally said, can you look up to the heavens and make water pour down on you from the clouds? Can you make it rain? And he said, no. And then he asked him, do you know when the mountain goat gives birth? And I said, I didn't even know mountain goats existed, right? Like, how would I know the answers to that? And he went on all these things that didn't make sense to us, or maybe it's not something that we would necessarily see as important, but he was basically giving you perspective. Like, how do you question the creator of the universe, the creator of the world? So today, we're going to see Habakkuk's response to that, to some of the confusion that may come with that. And I'm not going to do what I know. Normally, I give you a whole bunch of points, and I try to make them alliterate. They might rhyme today. I'm not sure. But I just want you to walk with me and just really pay attention, because I really have some heaviness on my heart this morning from everything that's going on among us, right? So I had a pastor's meeting on Wednesday. A couple of the pastors are in here today. and we met with Dr. Snap. Dr. Snap's the superintendent of Brownsburg Schools. And we always meet every, I'd say once a quarter, to talk about the school system, to talk about the youth, to talk about the community. And when I got there, Dr. Snap was discussing some of the upcoming things, and he was talking about Lincoln Elementary. For those of you not familiar with Brownsburg, we got a ton of elementaries, and we're growing, so we're needing to build another elementary next to one called Reagan. So as he was talking about that, he said, we want to build this new elementary called Lincoln. We got everything in place. We're ready to build the elementary. But the ground that we want to build it on in March may be too soggy to get started. He said, we have to wait until it's solid ground. And in the middle of the meeting, like, nobody saw me, but I did one of those, woo, y'all know how I get when I get an illustration. I was like, woo. And I kind of looked at him and was like, Dr. Stepp, did you say the ground's not solid to build on it? And he was like, yes, the ground is not solid to build on it in March, so we're a little worried because sometimes it's too wet and it needs to be a solid foundation. Well, that's where I want to start today. You see, we got to build on a solid foundation. As we look at Habakkuk 1:12, this is Habakkuk's response after God tells him what he's doing to deal with the problem that's going on in Judah. He says, are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We will not die. You, O Lord, have appointed them to judge, and you, O Rock, have established them to correct. We're going to stay right here for a moment. What you'll see is Habakkuk started out, how long, O Lord? And questioning things that were going on around him and just all kinds of confusing things. But this second response here, now this is a response we should have. He gets back on solid ground. He gets back on solid ground. See, he goes back to what he knows about God. He goes back to what he understands about God. These are things that Habakkuk wrote this and lived right around 607 BC. So he would have had access to any books of the Old Testament that were available up until that time. He would have had access to the law of Moses, to the Psalms of David. So these things, he goes back to what he knows. He knows because of Psalm 90, verse 2, that God is everlasting. See, Psalm 90, verse 2, David wrote, before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. So as much as he didn't understand God's response about the Chaldeans coming and taking over, he went back to what he knew. He said, you know, let me just start with the things I understand about you, Father. You are from everlasting, right? And then go back to my Habakkuk there. And then he says, oh, Lord, my God, my Holy One. And he would have knew that from say, Leviticus. Leviticus 11. Give me Leviticus 11 real quick. You don't have to, you can just write these down. I just want to show you how he was establishing this. It says, for I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy. He would have read this. He would have known this. He would have engraved this on his heart, and he would have had solid ground to stand on. Solid ground to stand on. See, some of us are standing on quicksand. Some of us are so shaken up today in this world right now because we don't have any solid ground to stand on. When you go to respond to the world and to the things that are going on, get on some solid ground first. Stand on what you know about God first. So many of us are wavering this way, wavering that way. We stand up on Sunday morning singing songs talking about we will not be shaken, but we're shook. The church is shook because we've gotten so far away from the solid ground of the truth of God. This is where people start failing in their faith. This is where they start questioning God, because they don't even have a solid foundation of who he is. Ask yourself this, who is God? What do you know about God? As you look at everything going on in the world today, what do you know about God? See, Habakkuk was shaken in verses 1 through 4, and I'm pretty sure he was shook up a little more when he heard God's response, so he went back to something he could stand on. He said, well, You're from everlasting. You're a holy God. Go back to Habakkuk 1:12. He says, we will not die. How does he know that? Because that was a promise he made to Abraham, right? So he goes back to what he knows. See, some of us today, we don't know nothing. We say we don't have time for Bible study. We don't have time to open his book. And then when the world around us starts becoming chaotic, we don't know what to stand on. And what ends up happening is we stand against each other in the church. I can't have too many expectations of the world, but I can have expectations of the church. And all I see today is a divided church, because people are not standing on God. They're standing on their political views. They're standing on their preferences. They're standing on the words of some article or some media or whatever, and they haven't just went back to his word and stood on the word of God. Solid foundation. So we're losing, because we're speaking from places that we don't even know if it's real, if it's not, if it's false, if it's true. Many of you know I locked my daughter out yesterday, right? Like, a lot of you know that, right? See, she wasn't standing on solid ground. I tried to tell her, don't you remember what happened last time we made this bet? You can't beat me. Even if you was faster, I would trip you and I would still win. So she, for those of you who don't know, me and my daughter went on a run yesterday. The weather was beautiful, right? Weather was beautiful yesterday. And we went on a run, and she said, I got dibs on the shower. I said, well, you got to beat me home to have dibs on the shower. She said, Dad, you're too slow. You're older. You've gotten bigger. You're too slow. That's not solid foundation. Now, I know what I may look like, but I still got a little moving in these bones. Plus, I was motivated, so I made the bet based on the fact that I knew my legs was longer, and I knew I was faster. So I said, "Okay, I'll race you for it." And I beat her home, and I blew her out, obviously, because I had time to lock every door. I locked every single door, and I told her, "That's what you get for not saying something on solid foundation." I literally said that to her because I was thinking of my sermon while I was doing it. I took my shower. She's like, I'm going to tell mom. I said, tell her. And she sat outside that whole time. She was really upset when she got in. But that's what we look like. We're losing. We're losing. We're losing to the world. We're losing to Satan. We're losing to our flesh. Because we won't stand on what we know about God. And in some cases, we don't know anything about God. You want to know why Bible study is important? Not because of some religious ritual. No. What are you standing on when times get tough? That's why Bible study is important. You see, when all these things are going on in the world, I go back to what I know. I go back to Scripture. Not my friend, not my mama, not whatever political opinion you hold. I go back to Scripture, and I start right there with what God says about what's going on in this world and what God says my response should be. How many of you can tell what my political views are based off of Facebook, based off the way I live my life? I guarantee nobody knows my stance. I guarantee it, right? And many of you are shaking your head. No, I have no clue. But how many of you can tell my views on God and the Lord? Everybody. Right? Ask yourself that in your circles. How many people know your political stance more than your Christian stance? Think about that for a moment. Get back to what we know about God. He goes, and even in his confusion of raising up the Chaldeans, he says, you, O Lord, have appointed them to judge, and you, O rock, have established them to correct. He looks at the sovereignty of God, and look at this. You, O Lord, have appointed them, the Chaldeans, to judge. You, O rock, have established them, the Chaldeans, to correct. not to destroy, not to exterminate, but to correct. My heart was heavy all weekend long. We had people on so many different ends of the spectrum with everything going on in the world. The same people that were my brothers and sisters in Christ 8 years ago who were so happy for Obama were saying no about Trump. And the same people who were so upset about Trump, Obama, were so excited about Trump. And these are all, they have one thing in common. They were all my brothers and sisters in Christ. And it was so divided. So people came to me and said, Rashad, what do you think of all this? What do you think of all this stuff going on? How do you respond, brother? Because you normally have a good response. I said, well, it's not my response, it's the Bible. I look at Romans 13:1, and in Romans 13:1, once again, just going back to the Bible, it says, every person is to be in subject, to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. That kind of looks and sounds just like what Habakkuk just said. The Chaldeans were established by God. The Chaldeans were raised by God. Like, he's in control. No matter who's in office, no matter who's running things in this world, God is in control. There's a rap song. I'm the biggest boss that you've seen this. He's the biggest boss. Plain and simple. If we just start there, your responses change. You no longer have to argue your opinion or your view. You stand on what you know. You stand on good, solid ground. God is still in control. If you can't do it in this political stuff going on, how are you going to do it in your marriage? How are you going to do it when your kids stray away and start acting up? We can't even do it with the things going on politically. What happens when it hits the household? And you don't know how to not get that divorce. Because the enemy is working and the flesh is working and everybody's got an opinion on your marriage. Go stand on God. When your kids is acting crazy and got you just thinking all kinds of things, go stand on God. When your workplace is all up in the air and you don't know if you have a job tomorrow or a job yesterday or whatever, just go stand on God. Go stand on him. Go back to his word. Because it's there that we get rid of all this division we got going on right now. You see, we're reading the same Bible. And I'm not talking about getting into all these minor doctrinal things of this or that. No, I'm talking about what we can all say is truth. God is the creator. God is sovereign. I don't care where you come from, that's truth. I don't care what denomination you're in, that's truth. So go there and stand up there. Say that out loud, just like Habakkuk did. You know, I don't know about this Chaldean stuff, but what I do know is that you are from everlasting. What I do know is that you are holy. What I do know is that we will not die. What I do know is that you put the Chaldeans in place. What I do know is that you raised them up to correct us. So whatever it is, even when I don't understand, I stand on your word. Most of us won't even open a Bible when these things start taking place. Instead, we open up Facebook. Instead, we turn on CNN. I go straight to the Bible. I see in 2 Peter, this is what I read. Go to 2 Peter real quick. Help me out. Gotcha. 1 Peter. All right. That's why he didn't go. Thank you. I was just making sure you're paying attention. Sometimes you get sleepy back there. I just want to make sure you're paying attention. I just lied. I'm sorry, y'all. First Peter 2. Thank you, Corey. First Peter 2. This is what Peter said. Now, let me give you some quick context. There was a king named Nero. Now, I used to be a hip-hop artist. Well, I kind of still am, but I used to be like a hip-hop artist. And back in the day before MP3s and YouTube and all that stuff, we had to burn our music on a CD and then like write on it, the greatest, right? Like something like that, right? So you would have to buy a CD burner, and one company was named Nero, right? The name of the company was Nero, and I never really understood. I was like, Nero. That's a neat name, and it's a CD burner. Well, when I started getting into like context and things of history with things going on in the Bible, I found out that King Nero was known for burning up things. Burned Rome and blamed it on the Christians. And when he had like, this is maybe a myth and maybe true, I haven't really studied this out, but they said he used to use Christians for tiki torches in his backyard, in his palace. Hey, you preaching too, man. You come on up here with me. Used to use Christians for tiki torches, for light when it got dark, and burn them. And he uses, like, when you're reading Peter, you'll hear him say, like, fiery trial and things like that to really have a play on words, because this is what they were facing, right? This is what they were facing, knowing that because of their Christianity, because of their belief in Christ as their Lord and Savior, there's a possibility they could end up as a tiki torch. That's persecution. And this is what Peter says to him. He says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority. Remember who the king he's talking about in this passage. Keep going. He says, or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. Let's keep going. He says, for such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Let's keep going. He says, act as free men and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God. One more verse. He says, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. The same king burning you guys up for tiki torches. Honor him. Whether you were a big fan of Obama, Trump, Bernie, Hillary, whatever. He says, honor the king. Until he got you doing stuff that goes against God's will, honor the king. And leave it at that. All the fussing, all the fighting, I get it. I get your opinions and all that. But your responsibility as Christians is to be on mission. That should be your first message. You want to change the world? Preach the gospel. You want to change the world? Imitate Christ. You want to make a difference? Start with your household. Move to your neighborhood. Make changes in this community. Live in a way where when people look at you, they have no clue what your political affiliation is because you're so busy showing them what Christ looks like. That's what's going to change this world. Christ knew it when he said, go make disciples. That's what he said. So as Habakkuk opened up with that piece there, I just thought about it all weekend long. He got on solid ground. He went to what he knows. I can ramble scriptures off the top of my head to what I know. I know that God said in Romans 8:28 that he uses all things for the good of those who love him. Because I know that, I ain't worried about nothing. That's another rap song, in case y'all didn't know. But the flesh is still strong, right? So moving back to Habakkuk, look at this. Moving back to Habakkuk, let's go back to Habakkuk 1:13. Move to the next one. He says, your eyes are too pure to approve evil, and you cannot look on wickedness with favor. Why do you look with favor on those who deal treacherously? Why are you silent when the wicked swallow up? Keep going. Now he's starting to ask questions because that flesh is still loud. He says, when those swallow up, those who are more righteous than they. So he's looking at the Chaldeans. He's saying, look, God, I understand you raised up the Chaldeans. I understand you're going to use the Chaldeans, but why would you use people who are even more unrighteous than us? He's like, when I first spoke to you, I get it. I said, Lord, my people are jacked up. What are you going to do about it? That's my translation, all right? That's the Rashad translation. But then he says, but you're going to use people who's more jacked up than us. Like, that don't make sense. Like, yeah, I called out to you. I cried out to you. We need you to do something, but you're going to use people who are worse than we are. So the flesh starts talking, right? Like, I get it. You are from everlasting. I get it. You are in control. I get all those things. I get you're the only reason that they have strength. They're going to say that it's their strength, their power. I get that. But I know it's you, Father, who's in control. But why would you do that? Why would you use them? Keep going. Then in 14, he says, why have you made man like the fish of the sea, like creeping things without a ruler over them? Let's keep going. He says, the Chaldeans bring all of them up with the hook, drag them away with their net, and gather them together in their fishing nets. Therefore, they rejoice and are glad. So Corey helped me out with this when we were studying. He said, basically, Habakkuk saying, not only are you using these unrighteous people, but they're really good at what they're doing. Like, they're unstoppable. They're like the 49ers used to be. Long time ago. But they were. Just remember that. Going back to what I knew, what I used to know. He's like, they're really good at what they, like, not only are you using these unrighteous people, but they're an unstoppable force because of how you're using them. Keep going. And then he says, therefore they offer a sacrifice to their net and burn incense to their fishing net, because through these things their catch is large and their food is plentiful. Let's go one more. And then he says, will they therefore empty their net and continually slay nations without sparing? Like, he's still struggling, y'all. He got on that foundation like many of you, I hope, going forward will do from now on. But that doesn't negate the fact that you're still going to have questions and still struggle and still wrestle with the results of the world, with the results of your marriage, with the results of how your kids is acting, with the results of your workplace, with the results of school. So I don't want to ignore and act like, as human beings, just going back to the Bible solves everything. It should, but we're human, we're sinners, we're weak, and it just doesn't sometimes, right? Sometimes it doesn't. So this next verse right here, Habakkuk 2:1, this is where I want you to just land here for a moment. So Habakkuk says, after questioning all those things in his flesh, so look at this. First he stood on what he knew, got back to what he knew about God, and then he went back and asked God more about what was going on. Just think about this for a moment. Look at this progress. He stood on what he knew, found a little bit of comfort in what he knew about God, and then took the rest of his questions and his problems and the things he disagreed with that were going on in the world, and he took them to God, not people. He took them to God. I say it all the time. If you have a problem, go to the problem solver. If you have a problem, go to the problem solver. You prove whether or not you believe he's sovereign based on your prayer life. Some of you will say God is king, God is overall, and then you quit praying like that as soon as you don't have that immediate answer. Habakkuk started this whole thing out saying, how long, Father? Meaning he had probably already been praying for quite some time to say, how long? And as we read these verses and we're looking at this dialogue between Habakkuk and God, sometimes we quickly read and say, oh, it was an immediate response. We don't know that. You read verse to verse and you think he prayed, God responded. Doubt it. And y'all tease me because I don't respond to my text messages like that. Y'all better look at God, quit talking to me and getting on my case. But I doubt it happened like that. In fact, you even see shifts as you look through the passage. You can see, like, he says, I'm going to do something that you wouldn't believe. Look among the nations, observe. There's probably a time period between when he made his first complaint to God and God responded. Then God responds and he comes back, and now he's talking about who the Chaldeans are, as if perhaps maybe seeing them on the verge of taking over, like there's probably some more time in between his response to God and God's response. So what does he say right here? He says, I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart, and I will keep watch to see what he will speak to me and how I may reply when I am reproved. He says, I've asked you these questions of things I don't understand, and I'll wait for your response. That's faith. That's faith right there. I'm still not sure of these things that are going on, but I trust that you'll reveal to me your plan for us in your word. We see some other instances of this. Let's look at Psalm 71 real quick. You can just write it down. We'll have it up here. Psalm 73. This right here was David. Look at this. He says, surely God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. So he stood on something he knew. But then he says, but as for me, my feet came close to stumbling. My steps had almost slipped. So it's kind of the same situation. He's like, surely God is good to Israel, right? Like he made a covenant with us, right? But as for me, my feet came close to stumbling. My steps had almost slipped. And he goes into this little tangent of how he's been paying attention to the wicked, and they've been getting away with everything, and they've been prospering, and they're having their way on earth, and they're winning. He's like, God, the wicked are winning, and my feet are close to stumbling. I'm getting real close to saying some things that I shouldn't say, but I'm starting to feel. And then later on, after he goes through that little tangent, in verse 15, he says, if I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have betrayed the generation of your children. I would have said some things that are out of order. He just went through all these things going on, saying that the wicked have prevailed. And if I would have spoke some things in that moment, in my flesh, then I would have betrayed the generation of your children. But he goes on and he says, when I pondered to understand this, it was troublesome in my sight. Keep going. He says, but until I came into the sanctuary of God. Until I came into the sanctuary of God, then I perceived their end. When he went back to the Lord, then he could see what God was doing. Y'all say it all the time. He was the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, right? So if hindsight is 20/20, then all you got to do is look in the Bible, right? If hindsight is 20/20, you want to see how God responds to the chaos going on in the world? Look at the Bible. Go read his word. You read Judges? You read Habakkuk? Some of these things wouldn't catch you off guard if you would just read the Bible. He hasn't changed. He's faithful. And in times like this, when I don't know what's right, what's wrong, and what's up and what's down in terms of opinions and views, I go back to the only truth I know. God. He sustained me in my marriage when we were struggling. He sustained me in my childhood when I didn't even know him. He has kept me all this time, and he has promised that as his child, he's going to keep on keeping me. Do you not believe he won't keep you? Do you not believe he's more worried about our nation than we are? So I stand on him. So I was reading Judges and with the ups and the downs and the cycles, because I feel like we're going through those cycles. And I came to the last verse. Look at this real quick. In those days, there was no king in Israel, and everybody did what was right in his own eyes. Now remember, the book of Judges, for those of you who don't know, it's Israel going up and down in this cycle. Up and down in this cycle. One moment they're on a spiritual up because somebody is raised up and held them accountable to God's law. And as soon as he's done that, and he's judged and delivered them, they're right back down. And I don't know about you, but some of the division going on today was going on in July. And then it was going on in August about something different. Then it was going on in October about something different. And it's up and down, up and down, up and down. And when I came to this right here, in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. That king that can keep you from the up and down is Christ. If we all of us, didn't do what was right in our own eyes and just looked at God and responded and lived according to his word, that's your standard right there. That gets rid of the ups and downs and the waverings and all that. So, like, why can't we just go back to keeping it simple? Why can't we just go back to opening up the Bible, seeing where God is, and just standing on his word? Do me a quick favor before I end this. Can you all just look around to somebody you don't know and just say, I love you right now, seriously. Just look around. Just look around. Now, check this out. Here's the beauty of that. We're laughing, we're giggling, we're saying I love you, and a lot of you are sitting people who don't believe the same thing you do politically. See how easy that was? To just look to your neighbor and say I love you? To just look behind you and say I love you? To just look in front of you and say I love you? That's it right there, y'all. Can we walk out these doors and do that everywhere? Facebook, Twitter, workplace, restaurants. Can we just look to each other and say, I love you? Can we just keep it simple? What are the two most important commandments? Love God and love each other. Can we just start there and let that be our solid ground that we're building on? Just keep it simple. We do so much to build barriers that Christ has already broken. We got a song coming up that we're going to sing, and I want you to think about this. It's called Simple Pursuit. Can we just get back? Was that me? Okay. Can we just get back to where we were chasing after God? Can we just go back to that place and everything in our lives? I know a lot of you are hurting this morning for a whole bunch of different reasons. And I'm not insensitive to that, okay? But we are supposed to be different than the world. We're supposed to be the example for the world. The Bible says God has sanctified us, has set us apart to be different, to be an example. Many of you, when you came to Christ, it was simple, right? You were a sinner, you knew you needed a Savior, and you knew you couldn't do it. Many of you, when you brought your marriages before Christ, it was simple, right? You got tired of trying to fix it on your own, so you gave it to Him. Many of you with your addictions and the things you're hurting and the things you're fighting and your struggles, when you gave it to Christ, it was simple. And He's been faithful. What I'm asking you to do this morning is keep it simple. Go back to that place that you know, that place that you can stand on, to where the only thing that mattered to you was God's will, God's agenda. In every area of your life, give it back to God and keep it simple. Don't allow the noise of this world to get you off the path. Love God, love others, and go make disciples of all nations. Some of you don't have that relationship this morning. Some of you still feel on the outside saying, Rochelle, I'm not sure about that. I need to know more. Some of you are tired. Some of you are exhausted from this weekend. Let me give you some solid ground to stand on. Come pray with me. Come talk to me. I promise you his word is faithful. And there's many brothers and sisters in this congregation right now who will testify to what I believe. I don't have a whole lot to give you. I don't have a whole lot of answers for what's going on, but what I do know is this. God is faithful. God is faithful and he's in control. I've been through far worse than what we're going on now, personally, and he's been faithful. So I'm asking you to stand up, get ready to sing this song of simple pursuit. Get up out your seats real quick. Come on. And I'm asking you to read the words and really let them speak to you. Let us go back to that place that we began when we weren't divided by the things of the world, when we were united in Christ. And if you don't have that relationship, please, I'll be in the back. Just come speak with me. I love you all. I thank you all for letting me speak to you this morning. My heart is so heavy with everything going on in the world. But please, choose love. Choose love this morning. Choose love throughout the week. Stop letting the world divide us. God is in control. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast from Church on the Rock here in Brownsburg, Indiana. It is our distinct privilege to have you as our guest. If you have any questions about Church on the Rock, please visit our website, www.churchontherockbb.com.